Happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. Today's podcast is all about clarifying and communicating everything in your church. And that really connects well with today's sponsor, which is Enjoy Stewardship Solutions. Listen, they were founded in 1992 by number one leadership expert, Dr. John C. Maxwell. This organization helps churches craft customized church capital campaigns to help fund new facilities, upfit existing facilities, buy land, and pay off debt. More than 4,500 churches have raised more than, wait for it, $4.5 billion to fund their God-given vision. If your church is preparing for a new major project, make sure you have a conversation early with Enjoy Stewardship Solutions. I have used them in the past. I am super happy with them. They're incredible people, and I know will help your church. In fact, if you want to find out how much your church could raise in a capital campaign led by Enjoy Stewardship Solutions right now, you can find this out by visiting enjoystewardship.com/rich. That's enjoystewardship.com/rich. Well, let's jump into today's conversation. I know it's going to help you as you think about how you communicate at your church. Let's go.
Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. Are you looking for practical ministry help to drive your ministry further, faster? Have a sinking feeling that your ministry training didn't prepare you for the real world? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in pursuit of stuff that we wish they had taught in seminary. Buckle up, and let's get started with this week's Unseminary Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. I've been really looking forward to today's conversation for a while. I think you're going to be rewarded for tuning in. I know you've got a lot going on in your church, and particularly this time of year, and I'm excited because you're going to get a chance to really look under the hood of a great church. It's got some really cool stuff going on, and really hear from a leader that I'm really want to expose you to and make sure that you get a chance to follow along. We got Phil Bowdell with us. Phil is a part of the leadership team over at Westridge Church. This is a fantastic church in kind of the greater Atlanta area, Hotlanta. Started in 2002. They've planted, 150, 160 churches all over the world there, and it's incredible churches. Phil is the creative arts pastor over there. Phil, welcome to the show.
Rich, so glad to be here, man. Been looking forward to this. It's fun.
Oh, I'm excited to have you on. I know it's interesting, the creative arts role. I feel like it's one of those roles I keep running into at so many churches. It's like it's an area of need where they're like, man, we just need lots of help. So I'm excited to have you on. Even if you're listening in today and you're not in the creative arts kind of communication side of what we're doing, you're going to want to listen in. Now, so what we want to do is kind of take advantage of the fact that you're an expert in this area because you really do, have a lot to say. But before we get into all that, why don't you tell us a little bit about your church? If people were to show up this weekend, what would they experience? Give us a sense of what's going on at Westridge.
Yeah, so we're a relatively big church. We're typically between 4,000 and 5,000 on a Sunday, 10,000 to 12,000 on an Easter. We're a relatively big church, but that's not really what defines us or what drives us. I mean, our pastor Brian Bloy just leads the way in just trying to authentically lead people and point people towards Jesus. So really, everything we do in our services, our message, our worship, our small groups, everything we do, we're just trying to put Jesus on display in everything we do and let Jesus do the rest. We try to be authentic as we do it, to be real, to be relatable, and hopefully along the way, we've just seen through 21 years now, just see God do just incredible things, not only in our own local body, but also just what God's done in for our heart of church planting, to plant churches locally down the road, down in our community, across the country and across the world. So we've just been blown away by God, by what he's done through our church. So at the end of the day, we don't want anybody pointing to anybody on our staff or on our stage. We just want people to be blown away by what God's doing in our community.
That's really cool. Give us a sense of kind of the, what are your, if people were to experience your weekends, what does that kind of look like? What would you say would be some of the distinctiveness of Westridge that God's using to kind of make a difference in your culture? Those sort of things. I know it's, I don't want you to feel, you're a humble guy, which is a good thing. And so I know it can sound a little bit like bragging, but just to help give our people, a bit of a context of what's happening at the church.
Yeah, I would hope that if you came in one week that it might look completely differently the next week. I mean, we want people to create a little bit of anticipation of not knowing what they're going to expect. And so, as far as the format of our service, it's different every week. You know, there's probably the same elements, but we're trying to create moments where people are anticipating what's next and mm-hmm. really speak to the head and the heart in both ways, in our worship and our teaching and our offering, all those things. One thing that I think we probably do as really well, I would say, is mm-hmm. our storytelling and speaking about generosity. I feel like has mm-hmm. been an area that God's just really blessed our team and our church in that way. I mean, we'll do generosity experiments where we'll be able to create a moment where we can blow away somebody's expectations of a need that they may have and share a video of that story and put it in front of our church to just show them, hey, here's what you're giving towards. Here's the difference mm-hmm. that generosity makes in our church. And so I think that's an area that we've just really been excited about and mobilized just by storytelling in that. And so, you know, from worship, from everything, I mean, we're trying to accomplish a lot in a little amount of time. That's always the challenge. Mm-hmm. But, you know, our team just put out our first original album. So we've just seen even our worship community very cool. really, really blow up and to see exciting things happen there. Yeah.
That's really cool. Well, I want to take advantage of you a little bit today. So you do not only work at your church, but you also do coaching with other churches around this whole area of communication, worship arts, and that kind of thing. But I wonder if we could start with, you know, it seems like when you go into a lot of churches that it's like, oh, I feel like I maybe have stepped back in time. It's like 1994 and, you know, things were like really hip, like right before the internet launched, you know, for us, but maybe haven't changed very much. You know, are you seeing that as well? What maybe hasn't changed in the church that maybe should change? Or maybe the other way to say that is, you know, what are you seeing in prevailing churches that they're doing differently, particularly around this whole area of communications that, you know, that more churches need to be thinking about?
Yeah, no doubt. I think a lot of the foundation of, I think, how we do church hasn't really changed over the last 30 mm-hmm. years, I'd say. Mm-hmm. And what I found, though, is that a lot of churches are still using the old playbook for communication. And I think mm-hmm. that playbook was really built around the assumptions around how people attended church, how they engaged with the church, and even their area of what they were paying attention to. And so to mm. dive through that, I think, you know, 30 years ago, attendance looked very different than it looks mm. today. People were coming far more frequently than they are today. So when you communicated a message, you could assume if you communicated that message on one Sunday that you were communicating to the majority of your church. That mm. assumption no longer works. Right. The other side is engagement. I mean, you could assume that the way that you are going to engage your church is what would happen when that person came to the front doors of your church. And now that assumption is broken because most people are engaging with churches far before they ever reach the front doors of your church. They're actually they're knocking on the doors of the front door of Facebook and Instagram mm. and your Google listing and your website. Mm. They're checking you out for days, weeks, or months. Just mm. a recent story that we saw in our church that I share about in my book, that they were watching our messages for over 6 months before they ever even drove onto our campus just to check out what we are all about, what we were teaching mm. and check us in from kind of from far away. And so there's a whole different reality and a whole different playbook that we have to use for how we engage people inside and outside the walls of our church. And then I think yeah, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, it's so true. One of the things on that, when I started, so I've been involved in multi-site since the early 2000s. So that's not that long ago, 15, you know, whatever, 18 years ago, I guess was when I first started in that. And, you know, at that point, we were doing video as a church and it was very rare. Like it was like, there was like us. And then there was another very large church kind of in our broader community that literally had a TV ministry. They called it where mm-hmm. they, you know, they put TV on, they put their, you know, services on TV. There were not a lot of people doing it. And, but now, like I have a friend of mine who's a good friend of mine, you know, church planner in Florida, for like day one out of the box, they were doing video. And why were they doing it? So that they could drive it onto YouTube, drive it into, you know, social media, come up with ways to leverage it. And that's a significant deal. Like that's a huge change in not that long a period, where it went from like only the kind of, you know, very large churches and kind of elite churches. Now it's like just a normal piece of the puzzle. That's a great example. Other areas or other things. I kind of cut you off there. Sorry about that.
Oh, you're good. Yeah. Well, the other area that I think is just completely changed, like the old playbook for communication too, in previous years was we could assume that when we communicated a message in the church that people were paying attention. And I think anybody that's gotten up in a church and shared announcements knows that is not true anymore. Right?
Yes, very true.
So I found just in my research that the average person is running across over 10,000 branded messages every single day. I mean, that is an insane amount of information to process. And so I think as we look about the messages that we have to communicate, we have to approach things in a whole different way to cut through the noise and grab people's attention in that way. So I think that, again, the old playbook of assuming that you have people's attention and assuming that people are attending every week and assuming that you're going to engage them just inside the walls of their church is just no longer working. So we need a new playbook to communicate the great message that we have.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So now what would be some of those, you know, churches that are prevailing that are kind of changed their approaches that are looked at kind of a different way to do that? What would be a couple of those examples of, you know, trying to keep engagement, trying to, you know, trying to fight the phone, trying to fight like, hey, pay attention. Hey, we're up here, you know, or, you know, just changing the way they interact with their community. What would be some of the examples that you could give?
Yeah, I think it's a reposturing of the church that's doing this effectively. I think it's moving from assuming that you can communicate because people should listen to you because you're the church, and more the posture of a church saying, "Hey, the message that we're communicating, the movement that we are a part of, we're speaking to you first, and trying to add value to you as a person looking to take their next step in their walk with Jesus, wherever you are. It's about that person in the seat or that person that's checking you out online far more than it is about you." And so I think it's an interesting model too, of it almost becomes not about your church in some ways. From what I've seen, the best churches are not trying to build their own attendance and engagement. They're actually just trying to genuinely help people experience a rich, journey with Jesus. And so think about the different posture you have if some organization says, hey, we want you to do business with us because we're really good, compared to, hey, we have something that I think would genuinely help you. So how can we help you? Is there something that we can do that would add value to you? I think that's the different posture that we need to be taking in the church. And so what that means is, goodness, I mean, with blogs, with YouTube, with social media, what if we got rid of the old playbook around just trying to promote things and moved into how can we add value to help solve the problems that people have in their own lives? And so how do we use blog posts to encourage people in their marriage? How do we use YouTube videos to help them take a next step in their walk with Jesus and learn how to pray, learn how to read their Bible, those kind of things? Mm-hmm. So that's the posture I'm seeing that's changing.
Love that. So I want to really drive home on this, because I think this is what you just talked about. There's people that have missed what you just said. And because I know it, because I look at churches, social feeds, I'm a church leadership wonk. I talk to church leaders all day long. And they are missing what you're talking about there, which is this nuance. It's not even a nuance. It's actually a pretty significant shift from talking about us to talking about the people we serve. And so many times I've seen this where it's like churches will say like, hey, Facebook doesn't seem to be working for us, or like social's not working for us. And then I'll look at what they're doing and it's like, well, who wants to follow a social feed that everything just says, come to our services, come to our services, come to our services, come to our services? Like that's not interesting and engaging. Mm-hmm. That's not why people go there, and they're not looking for another source of advertising. But you're saying churches are shifting to this idea of like, hey, we want to be helpful, maybe less hype, more help, figure out how to kind of communicate around them. What would be some examples of maybe a couple different avenues? Maybe it's like, what does social media look different in that? How does what would we do different on our website to try to be more centered around our people? What would that look like?
Well, I think really it all comes down to a basic change in posture that I think we should be doing is changing away from communicating of what we want from people and communicating what we want for people. There's a huge difference. So if you're communicating, regardless of the platform, if you're on stage, on social media, on your website, like take small groups for an example. I don't think any church that, around doesn't want people to get engaged in their discipleship path, whatever that looks like, if it's Sunday school or small groups or life groups, whatever you call it. Think about the difference between saying, hey, we're trying to get every person in our church into a small group. So we want you to take a next step today and sign up.
That's our annual goal.
We want to grow by 20%, right? And that's what we want from people. But think about the difference of saying, hey, we know every single one of us, me included, we were wired for community. We were wired by God to say we do life better together. And so as a church, we want to say there's a place for you. There's a place for you to get connected with others that are in your same stage of life and to help do life with you. So we want to provide an opportunity for you to do that. Would you take a next step? How can we help you do that? Like, that's a whole different posture. The same exact message of pointing people to small groups. But if you can change that posture on social media or your website or whatever, to just say, here, how can we help solve a problem that you have? Because everybody needs relationships and community. That's a felt need that we all have. We just are not going to solve that felt need by saying, hey, here's what we want from you. We have to speak to what we want for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very good. Why don't we, another example that I think, you know, a lot of churches face is the whole, we need more volunteers. So, you know, the kids ministry people come and what they'd like to do, and I love, listen, we've had a lot of kids ministry people on the show. I love kids ministry people, save your cards and letters. But they'll come to us and say, hey, what I'd like to do, because we need a few more volunteers in kids ministry, is I want to bring a kid with me up on stage and basically say, listen, we have this kid that I need to get volunteers for. If we don't have a volunteer, this poor child, look at them. They have a sad face. They will have no one.
Sarah McLaughlin music is playing in the background.
Exactly.
Right?
Sarah McLaughlin music will play. They're not. I wish that was a theoretical thing, but that people will want to do that kind of thing. What's an alternative if someone, say, comes to their, maybe it's an executive pastor or lead pastor or a communications person, they come to this like, hey, because that's a message that's all about what do we need? We need people to serve. How do we turn that around? Because actually we do have a need. Like we have a burning platform. If we don't have enough people in kids ministry, we're going to turn people away. So how could we turn that message around?
I mean, I've literally seen this exact example come into play in the church. And so what I've found is two things. Me personally, like, it scares me to death to go into to the thought of going into a like preschool nursery environment and having to keep kids alive in that way. Like, so personally, if I was hearing that message, I'm like, nope, that ain't for me.
Yes.
You know, that ain't for me.
Yes.
And two, as a parent now, I would say, oh, I don't know if I want to put my kids in there if they don't have enough people to take care of my kids. And so it creates another barrier by trying to overcome another barrier there that is really just not what we want to communicate. So what I would encourage and what I coach other churches to do here is take a message that's designed for a small niche of people and try to make that a message for everybody. And instead of saying, oh, wow, we desperately need 12 more people in the nursery to take care of these kids. What if you change that message to say, hey, God has wired every single one of us to serve, and we know God's given every one of you some unique abilities to be able unique abilities and unique gifts. And so we just want to give you an opportunity to use those to help build our church and put Jesus on display. So every single one of you has a place to be able to serve in our church. And you know what? There's opportunities right now and needs in our preschool environment, in the nursery. We would love to see some of you step up in that. We'd love to see some of you run a camera or greet people, but there's a place for you no matter what your gift is or no matter what your timing is. There's a place for you. Like, so that speaks to every person in the room instead of just the people that might want to serve in the kids ministry, but it still emphasizes that same thing. So same message, just this different posture.
Yeah, that's fantastic. All right, changing course a little bit, obviously talking about the same kind of things, but in just a little slightly different direction. I know that you do, and you've mentioned this, you do coaching with churches, consulting. You'll end up, you know, out at, you know, churches and helping them and, you know, I don't know, a dozen years, something like that. Now, I know, and this may not be the truth with you, but a lot of times coaches like yours, they're going to arrive at a location and they almost every time seem like they're giving the same advice or like they're having the same conversation. I know everybody you serve gets a unique thing every time. But is there kind of common advice you find yourself having? You know, are there things that you've kind of a similar conversation or like a similar like, hey, we should do these things? Or, you know, is there a pattern that you find yourself following all the time? What does that look like when you're out actually interacting with, you know, churches out there? Because I'd love to help everybody who's listening in, the 1,000 church leaders listening in. They'd love to have them come, but they can't serve all of them. So what do you think you would say to most churches if they had you come on site and start working with them?
Yeah, great question. There's probably a lot of directions this could go because there's a lot of things, honestly. Yes. I think one of the biggest communication things that I see everywhere is that churches are assuming that more is better. And by more, they mean, okay, we need to communicate more messages, more things. So let's cram as many announcements as we can because they need more. We need to add more language because they haven't heard us. So we need to yell more. Make the fonts bigger because they need more. And that's the reality is people are so overwhelmed that you're trying to reach that more is crippling to them. Mm-hmm. And instead, we need to do more with less and to do the really hard work as church leaders to say, here are the 1 to 2 things that we want you to walk away with each week of the year. That takes work. And so that leads into the next thing that I think is completely overlooked is the system side of communications. Mm. It is overwhelming, you know, whether you're a church of 200, 700, 2,000, whatever your role, there's a lot of things that happen in the church. And so if you don't have good systems to help clear the path for the messages you communicate, and even for the staff to know how they can partner with a communications volunteer or communications leader. If you don't have those systems in place, it is chaos. Unfortunately, what happens is people pay the price on the staff or on the volunteer teams. But the reality is the people that we're trying to reach with our message pay the price because they're not getting the clarity that they need to take a next step. And so a lot of what I try to do is help identify and create some really practical systems that they can implement that will just bring some clarity to the chaos that they have in the communication process to help communicate the messages they have more effectively.
Now, systems are one of those things. I think it can be a scary word for some people. They're like, oh, that's like, what do you mean by system? You think about communication system. Can you give an example of what that, you know, what would be a few of those that you might be working on with churches?
Yeah. I mean, probably the thing that I get asked about the most when I, if I share at a conference or something is one spreadsheet that I use that I have up on my computer at all times. And that's just a church-wide planning grid that we have. And we have it's a Google Doc that a number of people on our team have access to that just shows here's what we're doing each week of the year. Like here's the series we're in. Here's who's teaching. Here's who's hosting that day in the service. Here are the 1 to 2 things that we're trying to communicate that week. You know, here's the calendar of the school schedule that we have that is going to impact the things that we're communicating or doing as a church. And so we basically just by creating one hub there, that becomes our brain, you know, for so many different things. And it really just took the hard work to say, we are going to be diligent about using this. And so now, you know, everybody on my creative team knows that they can go on that calendar or on that Google Doc. And they know as soon as I know something, it's going to be on there. And as soon as they can count on, you know, if they need to make some decisions around a song that they're going to do or building out social media posts for 2 weeks or 3 weeks from now, they can start leading with confidence, knowing that they can creatively create some content that's going to help promote those things well and tell stories around those things because we created a system with clarity for them. So it took work and it took some time to develop it. But now it is, I mean, I don't know what we'd do without it in a lot of ways.
Right, absolutely.
So that's something that I have available, you know, that it just be, that has just been, it's been fun to see like, oh, wow, this is so simple, but we use it and it actually works. And it's just simplified things for not only for the church and but even volunteers who are looking in that want to play a role and just need the clarity to know how they can help.
That's very cool. I love that. And again, I don't want people to get overwhelmed when you think about something like a system. I think sometimes that can sound crazy. Really, what we're talking about is say a unified communication process, something as simple as like, here's one place that all that information goes. Mm-hmm. Huge deal, hugely important. That's fantastic. Well, let's pivot a little bit. You've actually written a book that I want to make sure people are listening in, get a chance to check it out. It's called Rethink Communication, a playbook to clarify and communicate everything in your church. Why did you write this book? And I know there's people, I can hear it. I can hear people turning off the podcast because they're like, oh, I'm not interested. I'm not a communications person. But actually what struck me when I looked into this book was, I actually don't think this is just for communications people. This is really for church leaders in general. Yeah. So I want you to listen in, you know, if you're executive pastor, lead pastor, you know, you're a student pastor, this book is going to help you. So don't turn off. But why did you write this book? What kind of brought you to the point where like, hey, I want to pull this together?
Yeah, great question. I think the burden that I felt and why I wanted to write this book is that I was talking to pastors, to ministry leaders, youth pastors, kids pastors, volunteers, communication leaders, creative leaders, and all of them were pointing back to the same root issues that all could be pointing back to communication. And a challenge of saying, hey, we have something that we want to grow that we're passionate about, and we are struggling to grow it. And the reality was they realized the people that we're trying to reach have changed. The old playbook is not working anymore, and we don't know what to do. And so I think especially for senior leaders, for executive pastors and people that are may not even be tactically doing communication, you're not writing social media posts maybe, but the reality that I've learned is that communication used to be somebody's job. It may used to be the senior pastor's assistant that put together the bulletin each week, and that was their job, and nobody else's. But the reality is now is communications used to be somebody's job, but now it's everybody's job because everybody has a role to play. Everybody has a role to remove barriers. Everybody has a role to identify a target audience and help communicate their message to them with passion and energy and cut through the noise. And so if only one person on your staff understands the new realities of communication, it's going to be a struggle to get your message across. And that one person is going to be completely overwhelmed because you don't have a good foundation of what the new reality is for the church and the message that we have to communicate. And so what I wanted to help do in the book is just to help people know that the message that we have is not the problem. We don't have a message problem. We have a message delivery problem. Mm. And the old playbook is not going to help get that message across. So we need a new playbook to help clarify and communicate everything in our church so we can take advantage of the greatest opportunities we've ever had in communicating our message. Because it's a little scary right now, honestly. Like, there's so many new things out there. It's hard to know, like, what platforms am I on? What do I do with our website? What do we do with our bulletin? All those things. It's overwhelming, and I get that. And so, what I tried to do with the book is to be really practical, and really provide a lot of just practical resources that people can use right away. Because I've just never talked to a church leader that just has like 20 hours in their week that they're wondering what to do with. Right. They're overwhelmed. So I wanted to make it short and to the point to be able to be really practical and helpful, and really to create some conversations on a staff team, not just for one person, but for a team to be able to use this book to be a platform to help rethink what they need to start doing or stop doing or continue doing in their church to get the message of the gospel out to more people.
So the part of what struck me about this was, you know, I think in this area, we can get lost in the weeds. And it's like you get down into like, okay, I'm going to dig into a Facebook ad strategy. And I am convinced that if I just unlock the magic of, you know, this one particular tactic, that somehow that'll make a huge difference. But a part of what has struck me about this, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, but really what you're doing here is providing a framework, a playbook, you call it, to help people think through and then plan out their communication, because the tactics are going to change over time, right? Like, there's going to come, you know, time when, you know, something else is going to come along, and the question is going to be, how does this fit into our playbook? It appears to me that you're providing a framework. Is that how you would describe that?
Yeah, I think most of communication is how you think about the message you have and how you communicate it with the channels you have available. And so this isn't a book about how to use Snapchat. Like, that's going to change in a year. Facebook's going to change things in 6 months. But the realities of what people need when you're communicating them, we're not seeing that change as quickly. And so how we think about what we communicate and the posture that we communicate with is, it needs to be rethought, because the old playbook doesn't work the same way. And yet it's not, you're dead on. It's not all about tactics. You know, it's not about, it's not about just, oh, how do I get 10% more likes on Facebook if I do this one thing? It's rethinking communication really away from just being, what am I promoting, to what am I communicating that's going to add value to the people we're communicating to. Yeah.
Yeah, so good. Oh, that's fantastic. Now, one of the things that struck me about this book is I really do think this could be a great tool for church leadership teams to read together. You know, I think this isn't the kind of book that it's like, oh, just give this to, you know, one person on your team. But I really do think it could be a like, hey, let's get this book. We're all going to read this over the next month. And then let's come together and say, because of what we've read here, what is going to be different in kids, in youth, in, you know, groups, in what are we seeing? Do you picture that happening in churches? Do you think churches could use that, or am I just like not thinking clearly about the book?
No, you're dead on. I mean, when I was writing this, I mean, I'm a PK. So my dad grew up in the church, like on the pew, making faces at my dad. You know, like that's my story. And so my dad was a pastor of churches between, you know, 300 and 700 or so. And so I wanted it to be something that would, you know, if he was not retired right now and still pastoring, I would want it to be helpful for him. I also have a huge heart for the communication leaders that are so overwhelmed that they just need some practical things to be able to help them along the way. But when I was writing this, I just, God kept a picture in front of me of just a senior pastor, a ministry leader, and a communications leader sitting at a Starbucks, being able to talk through this together. And so that really drove so much of how I tried to put this together. It's not so tactical that that a senior pastor is going to be overwhelmed with it. Actually, I think in a lot of ways, I think it might even help a senior pastor wrestle with how can I be more effective in my preaching and teaching, you know, and how can I lead in a way to provide more clarity to set up my team for success and what they are doing to communicate effectively and stuff. So it really is designed to be a bridge for any church leader. Because again, like we talked about before, communication is everybody's job. Everybody does have a role to play.
Love it. Well, where can people pick up a copy of this book if they want to grab a copy? Where should we be sending people? We'll link to this in the show notes, but where should we be sending them?
Yeah, you can get links for all the different platforms where you can grab it on Amazon, Kindle, iBooks, Nook, all those things on rethinkcommunicationbook.com. And so you can go there, or feel free to just go to Amazon and search Rethink Communication or Phil Bowdle, and you'll find it there. Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. Phil, I really appreciate this. I want to, if you're listening in today, you know, friends, you know, I'm trying to be really choosy about the authors that come on the podcast. I could do a whole show every week of like, here's a new book release, here's a new book release. I really do think Phil's book is a book that you should pick up. This would be the kind of thing you should say, hey, I want to get on my shelf. I want to, you know, we're coming into a season where you might be looking for some training. This could be a great training opportunity for your church. You know, it is the kind of thing that I think everybody needs to get a copy of and, you know, use it and, you know, and I'm excited to hear the, you know, there's real practical changes that'll come back and helpful changes that'll come back in churches. So Phil, I really appreciate you being on the show. If people want to track with you or with the church, what's the best way for them to do that, to kind of follow along with you?
Yeah. I mean, you can check out what we're doing as a church at westridge.com. Feel free to check that out. I'm just honored to be able to serve with such incredible people and under great leadership there. So love for you to check out that. But if you just want to, you can email me phil@philbowdle.com or go to philbowdle.com for all my contacts. Love to connect with you on Twitter. If you do get my book, my phone number is in the back. So feel free to give me a call or shoot me a text, and we'd love to connect with you in any way I can.
Great. Thanks so much, Phil. Appreciate being on the show.
Hey, really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Don't be shy. We'd love to connect. Check out Unseminary Inbox. You can sign up at unseminary.com, and we'll send you helpful training resources every week. Plus, you'll gain immediate access to our exclusive members area with tons of resources you can use. Connect with Rich on Twitter at Rich Birch, or through email, rich@unseminary.com. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode at unseminary.com. It includes links to what we talked about today and more. Leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Did you enjoy today's episode? Drop by iTunes and leave a review. Thanks again for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Join us next week when we'll learn more stuff we wish they taught in seminary.